Welcome to Belfast City Vineyard, where we are pursuing formation in the presence of Jesus, community gathered around him, and the impact he empowers us to bring in our families, city, and the world. The following message was given at one of our Sunday services. For more information, visit our website at belfastcityvineyard.com.
Good morning. It is so good to be with you this morning. Thanks for joining us again. And we are in the midst of a sermon series on courage. We began this many months ago and then took a break through Lent, and we are back in this sermon series on courage. We've been saying throughout this series that we're all facing something we need courage for. It's usually something that is right in front of us. We've been saying that courage is something that's formed in us. It's found in the presence of God. It's found in community. And it's found in obedience to his calling to us. And as we pursue holiness and purity, we find courage. And we also said that we set out to live a life of courage that's always challenged. It's always challenged. I want to talk this morning about courage to grieve our losses. Handling grief and loss is one of the biggest challenges or tests that we can face as followers of Jesus. And usually the first thing we think of is loss of loved ones. When we think about grief and loss, but we all experience many different kinds of losses that need to be grieved. And this time that we find ourselves in right now, this moment in history, could be described as one big loss or a giant grief that needs to be mourned or grieved in the presence of God. And that's what's right in front of us right now. In some way, shape, or form, we all need courage for this moment of loss that we find ourselves in. There's overwhelming numbers of people who have lost their lives. Maybe you work in the NHS and you're seeing distressing things on top of endless shifts and real exhaustion. Maybe you've lost your job, maybe you've lost your income, or your business has been threatened by this, and it's an enormous loss for you. Many others of us, there's certainly children, young people, have lost milestones that they've been looking forward to and actually needing in their lives, that they've been canceled or that were just unable to participate in those big parts of life. And it feels like life is on hold and we've missed something. And those are losses to grieve. Others of us are feeling extremely isolated, and we are grieving the loss of proximity of loved ones and friends and physical touch. And the list could go on and on. And one thing that it is clear is we're going to need courage to grieve these losses and grieve them well. Last week, Alan talked about the prophet Samuel and the courage to stand out and the courage to confront and lead. And today we're going to continue with Samuel, and we're going to talk about the courage to grieve our losses, the courage to be honest and name our losses and bring them into the presence of Jesus, and then even have the courage to receive some things back from Jesus in the grieving process. Just a bit of background, Samuel was a prophet who led Israel. He was a judge, he was a national leader, but he was also a spiritual leader. He was godly, he was wise, and he leads the people of God for many years, and it goes incredibly well. Samuel is one of the heroes of faith in the scriptures. But Samuel grows old, and he appoints his sons in his place, and they are corrupt, and they don't have the same stuff that their dad had. And so it doesn't go very well. And as a result, the people cry out and say, no, we want a king. We want to be like the nations around us. Never mind the fact that God's our king. We want a real king. We don't want to be different than the nations around us. And God says, you know what, Samuel, go ahead and do it. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting me. Give them a king. And so Samuel anoints Saul to be king. And you can read about this in the book of 1 Samuel. And at first that goes really well. Saul's a young man, he's courageous, he's strong, the hand of the Lord is upon him, and Samuel's really close to him. He's like a mentor or a father figure to him, and Samuel hears from the Lord and advises Saul. He's just this mentor with wisdom, and it's just this perfect combination. But over the next few chapters, we see that it breaks down, and Saul hedges a little bit, and he doesn't walk in obedience like Samuel does. He doesn't explicitly follow the instructions of the Lord as he leads the nation. And he begins to go his own way, and it just doesn't end well at all. And we see in 1 Samuel 15 that the Lord has had enough after a particularly brutal episode. It says, the word of the Lord came to Samuel. I regret that I have made Saul king because he has turned from me and has not carried out my instructions. And then it says Samuel was angry and he cried out to the Lord all that night. And Samuel then has to go and confront Saul and just break the bad news that the Lord has rejected you as the king. He has tearing the kingdom from your hands. And you can imagine how heartbreaking it is for Samuel to have to confront Saul and to have that conversation. And Saul's response is to say to Samuel in verses 24 to 26, I've sinned. I violated the Lord's command and your instructions. I was afraid of the men, so I gave in to them. Now I beg you, forgive my sin and come back with me so that I may worship the Lord. But Samuel said to him, I will not go back with you. You have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you as king over Israel. So all the investment, all of the hopes that the nation would do well. First, for Samuel, it's his sons that don't do well. And then it's his spiritual son, Saul, who doesn't do well. Saul should have made it, but he doesn't make it. And then so we see that Samuel in verses 34 and 35, Samuel left for Ramah, but Saul went up to his home in Gibeah of Saul. Until the day Samuel died, he did not go see Saul again, though Samuel mourned for him. And that's how chapter 15 closes, with Samuel sitting in grief, grieving his losses. It didn't turn out like he hoped it would or thought it should, and he weeps for Saul. And my guess is he loved him deeply like a son. He had poured his life into him. He had such high hopes for him and the nation. And we all know what it's like to grieve people's decisions and outcomes, where we're grieving for the effect that their choices are going to have in their life, those repercussions. And so Samuel's weeping and mourning for Saul, but what this will do, what will become of Saul? He's also weeping over a deep personal sense of loss. Like, what is my legacy going to be now? Samuel anointed and gave away leadership and responsibility and authority. And when you do that, and many of you know this from doing this in your family or in work or in a church context, that when you give away leadership and authority to someone, something of you goes with it. You are invested in them and their well-being on a different level. And Samuel had invested in Saul. They were connected in this way, and he saw him like a son, and it hasn't worked out. So he's just weeping over this deep sense of loss. He's also grieving over a national crisis, that Samuel's a father to the nation. He's a leader, and the nation is now in crisis. And we know what it's like to live in a nation in crisis right now. So Samuel's grieving that. My guess is also he's weeping before the Lord because he has questions for God. What are you doing, God? Why did you do it this way? What are we going to do next? I am old. My sons didn't work out. Saul didn't work out. Do you care about us? Do you care about me? And in our moment right now, many of us have been crying out and asking the Lord, what are you doing? We have so many questions for him. Do you care about us? When are you going to help us? And then something that just really caught me is that Samuel was a good guy. He's a hero in the scriptures. He did things right. He walked in obedience. And he still faced immense grief and loss in this moment. And I just thought that many of us, we've walked faithfully with Jesus throughout many years. And we behaved. We tried to do it right. And we worshiped and served Jesus. And still, we have seen griefs. And that's like causing us to be stuck. We've seen others, it seems like others getting ahead of us. It seems like we haven't seen our dreams come true. Or we've even suffered losses that just wasn't even our fault. We tried to do our best, yet we're still suffering grief and we feel stuck. And I just wonder if Jesus is inviting all of us to get unstuck by grieving our losses in this season, where we have some time, where we have unexpected space to ask bigger and deeper questions. Like, how do we handle these emotions? How do we handle these situations? How do we handle this loss? How do we grieve all the losses that we have in our life? And just really quickly, I just want to run through three things that I believe Samuel shows us on how to do this. First step is to acknowledge our loss, to acknowledge our loss, to do a loss inventory. What are the losses I've discovered, and how do I tell the truth about that and acknowledge them? The biblical word for confession, the Greek word is homologeo, which means to say the same as, to say the same as God says about us. And it certainly is applicable in the confession of sin, where we say the same as God says about our sin and grief or what we've done or left undone. But it certainly applies to grief as well and to the state of our soul if we confess or say the same as the actual state of our soul. And if you're like me, you usually try and hide your soul. And when we're grieving, it is so tempting to hide away, to bury it, and to get on with things. And the truth is, we need to grieve. We need to tell the truth about our souls, whether a loved one has died, whether a dream has died, or we've suffered loss in any of the other areas that we've talked about. And that's really hard. It feels like almost like a shame or a weakness if we acknowledge grief and loss and sadness. And you might be asking, like, why even go through this? It just feels almost like a shame. Why not just get on with it? Well, in our fast-paced world, we're just used to things happening in an instant, and we need to get on with it, et cetera, et cetera. But with matters of the soul, and certainly matters of grief, it's not that way. We must give ourselves time. We must give ourselves time with the Lord and before the Lord to process, to name what's happened to us, and to discern what the Lord might be doing in this process. Grief isn't a linear process. Grief is messy and difficult and can feel like a great darkness. But we do ourselves an immense disservice when we don't name our griefs and acknowledge them. And if we want wisdom, if we want perspective, if we want spiritual insight and depth, we have to be willing to go before the Lord and wait on Him and to be honest with Him and ourselves. And that takes great courage to do. Having courage to grieve helps us stay emotionally healthy. I've learned more about me and my emotions and who I am by going through grief and loss than more than any other way. Each step along the journey, Jesus has consistently offered me His healing, His friendship, and His forgiveness. He's offered me a reordering of my soul, a remaking of me. He's offering me order where there's been chaos. I just want to say directly to men who are watching this morning, we have a particular reluctance with emotions or difficulty with our emotions. And it's like almost have two gears, like happy, sad, or anger and frustration, you know. And or we might just constantly just feel regularly numb to our emotions. And they're hard to articulate and they're hard to name. Well, the problem is emotions, they don't stay quiet within us, do they? They come up and they demand our attention. And the stereotypical way to handle that demand for attention is distraction or burying it or sin or even addiction. I think Samuel and the scriptures and the presence of God is offering us a different way to handle our emotions by acknowledging and courageously naming our griefs and our losses and taking them before the Lord. And that's the second step, is to go before the Lord. Samuel separated himself from Saul, but he did not hide from the Lord. We even see him crying out to the Lord day and night. That's in verse 11 of chapter 15. And then the Lord tells Samuel in chapter 16 that his time for grief is over. So we know that he was doing this before the Lord. And the Lord says, no, you're done. It's over now. And we'll talk about that more next week. But we can see that Samuel had this raw and difficult and honest calling out to the Lord and grieving and mourning his loss, the loss of Saul. An honest pouring out of feelings before the Lord is actually biblical. We see in Psalm 42, my tears have been my food day and night. In Psalm 31, it says, my life is consumed by anguish and my years by groaning. My strength fails because of my affliction and my bones grow weak. Can we really tell God what's happening in our souls, within our hearts? And my answer to you is a resounding yes. You were made with emotions, and there has to come a time in healthy grieving when we let them out before the Lord and we cry out to Him and we ask Him why. We ask Him, how long? How long will I be numb? How long will I suffer? We even ask Him, are you there? Do you care? Jesus Himself in Gethsemane grieves and is pretty raw before the Father, and He asks that the cup be taken away from Him. Now, the Lord doesn't take the suffering away from Jesus, but He is given strength in the garden. And that's been my experience, that the Lord doesn't wave a magic wand through our grief and our loss when we bring it before Him, but He gives a grace and He brings a strengthening and He begins to lead us through it and He begins to show us things and give us gifts. Each one of us is really, really different. We've got different stories, different emotions, different losses and griefs. But the one thing we all have in common is we're all grieving many losses due to the extraordinary times we are currently living through. And we have to do that well before the Lord. This is extremely important because the disappointments and the unnamed griefs will echo through our lives in really destructive ways if we don't go before the Lord. And if we don't go before Him with our grief, intimacy with others and intimacy with Him is really, really difficult. If we can't be vulnerable, we shouldn't be surprised that intimacy with others, including Jesus, is hard. You can't walk closely with Him and receive from Him or other people in your life that you love and who love you if we're trying to hide our souls. The third thing that we need to do is to not miss the gifts. Next Sunday, we're going to talk about emerging from grief and having the courage to do that. But I want to end this talk with talking about the courage to remain open-handed in the midst of grief and loss and suffering. The scriptures tell us that God is incredibly close to the brokenhearted. In Psalm 34, it says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and He saves those who are crushed in spirit." In Psalm 147, He says He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He's incredibly close to those who suffer. We may feel like He's distant, but actually He's very, very close. He's right at hand to us. And He actually has some gifts to give us as we name our losses, as we go before Him. He has some things to place in our hand if we are courageous enough to receive them. And some of those things are, you know, if you've ever been through grief, and we have the courage to grieve, we often experience a breakthrough in the area of fear. And probably it's because some of the things we feared most have actually happened to us and we've survived and the Lord has brought us through that. And we begin to realize, actually, I don't have to be afraid of that. I have faced that giant. I have faced that and I no longer need to fear that. And what are you facing right now with courage that you no longer are in bondage to fear over? That'd be a really interesting exercise this afternoon to just pray through and think through. What have I faced? What am I facing now? And what am I realizing? That looked like a giant 2 months ago, but I no longer fear that in the presence of the Lord. Also, when we grieve, we're given clarity on what is really important. I just have found that Jesus gives the gift of clarity in the midst of the darkness of grief. The things that we care about come sharply into focus. We begin to realize actually time is short. Time on this earth is short. And our life with Jesus matters profoundly. And we're given clarity on what is worth giving our life to. And what has been a waste of time. Even in this weird moment of coronavirus lockdown, no doubt you and everyone around you has begun to do some type of inventory. Like, what do I really care about? Life is too short. That stuff I worried about 2 months ago, I can't even believe I worried about that. Actually, these are the things that are important. Emerging from lockdown, these are the things I want to do. These are the things I want to give my life to. These are the things I want breakthrough in. And it's like this grief, dark time, but actually it's sharpening clarity and focus. And this is immensely important. This is such a gift to us because it lets us think about what mark we actually want our lives to leave on this earth. And what mark is Jesus asking us to leave on this earth? And how do we want to live? And how do we want to come up out of this moment? And that's one of the things we get to discern with Jesus in this time of loss. But clarity is a gift we receive as we acknowledge our pain before the Lord. Also, in grief and loss, you typically possess a deeper trust in Jesus. You know Him not just in the times of blessing, but in suffering, and a deeper intimacy with Him is available. Many of you have grieved, and you know how difficult it is to hear someone who hasn't suffered the same things that you have try and console you, and you know how comforting it is to meet someone who has actually walked the road of suffering you have, and you kind of bond in a shared experience of grief. And that's part of the blessings of community, where the Holy Spirit leads us into community and He leads people to find each other and to serve one another in suffering. And so you've probably experienced that bond with someone, that healing bond in grief. Well, Jesus is revealed to us in the scriptures as a man of sorrows acquainted with grief. And He stands before us as a suffering Savior who has overcome suffering and death and the grave. And that same type of experience of shared suffering He longs to share with you. In grief, we get a deeper understanding of Jesus' sufferings. And in grief, he comes to us and we share in those moments, and deeper intimacy is available. There are some things, there's some places in intimacy with Jesus that we can only go through grief and suffering and having the courage to extend our hand and say, I receive more from you in this moment. Through grief and loss, you also are typically given access to greater wisdom. The very interesting verse, this book of Ecclesiastes, it says, the heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of pleasure. Through grief and loss, you have access to greater wisdom. That's what the scripture says. If you're in the house of mourning, you actually have access to wisdom from the hand of the Lord. You've been with the Lord, you've sought his face, you've understood his ways, you've heard his voice, you've been empowered and strengthened, you've seen things differently because of him. You've been able to discern, you've been able to watch, you've been able to see. When we're with the Lord and walk with him, particularly on the road of grief, we gain wisdom. Lastly, we're given increased authority. Your words aren't just words anymore. They carry weight because of what you have been through. And it's something you can now lead others through as well as you minister to them. Also, increased authority comes because you've been in the presence of Jesus, who has all authority. The closer you are to Jesus, the more authority you carry. He gives his authority to those he knows and to those he trusts, who have proven themselves trustworthy. It's part of the fruit of abiding in him. And so many of you carry tremendous authority because you've grieved before the Lord and his anointing, his hand is upon you. I want to close with this. Isaiah 61 is a prophecy about the coming Savior, Messiah. It points to Jesus. And it talks about what the Messiah will bring with him, or what the Messiah will do when he comes. I just want to read a few verses from Isaiah 61. It says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance for our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. The good news to us today is we have a Savior, Jesus, who stands before us and he welcomes us into his presence. And these are the things he does. These are the things he has with him. He is here to comfort all who mourn. He is to provide for those who grieve. He has a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. So as we show great courage, and as we name our losses in his presence, and as we hold our hands open before him, let's receive the gifts he has to us. But let's receive him, his presence, afresh as he stands before us with nail-pierced hands and says, come unto me, come unto me. If you have never begun following Jesus and you want to begin living with him, if you want to invite him into your life, I would just so encourage you to do that. He knows your grief. He knows your suffering. And he's inviting you close. He is so close at hand to you this morning. If you've followed him for years and years, but you're finding yourself confused and stuck, come through the trail of grief. Come to his presence. Take his hand and let him lead you up out of it. Let him deposit the treasures into your life that he has for you. I want to close by praying for us. Come, Holy Spirit, would you rest on the men and women who are part of the vineyard, the men and women and children who are watching this. And Lord, would you give us great courage to name our losses, to continually grieve before you, and to receive your good gifts to us. Lord, we just now name it. We receive your wisdom. We want to be people who receive your wisdom. Would you give us real clarity in these days? Would you give us breakthroughs in fear? And would we steward your authority well? Lord, give us great courage. Draw us to yourself. Bless us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For all the latest information about what's happening in the life of our church, or if you have any questions or comments, head over to BelfastCityVineyard.com.